Oh, it's always a good time when we have the voice of the KU Jayhawks, Brian Haney, with us every Thursday, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. And Brian's got to be feeling pretty good right now. Football team 16th in the college football playoff ranking, 7-2, fresh off a big win in Ames, Iowa. The basketball team looked pretty sharp the other night against North Carolina Central. Brian, it's good to be a Jayhawk, isn't it?
Man, it certainly is. Such a great time right now around the Kansas campus with all the sports doing well. Volleyball's been in the top 20 for the last 2 months, and we have Bill Self getting the amended lifetime contract at the start of the week. And then last night on Hawk Talk, Lance Leipold, I mean, the truth of the matter is, he whispers in my ear right before we come back from break, hey, set me up to talk about how much I love this place, how much I want to be here, and how much anything they read on Twitter these days about me interviewing at other places is not true. And we hadn't talked about that ahead of time. It wasn't one of those pre-scripted questions. It was literally just a quick throw me a softball and let me knock it out of the park here. And when he delivered on those comments, he got a standing ovation. So not only are we winning at all these sports, but there's a great culture that has got a lot of folks excited to be here and wanting to make this their final stop, you know, for the rest of their careers. And that was probably the biggest story coming out of yesterday, bigger than anything in the Texas Tech matchup coming up this weekend. And clearly that has a lot of Jayhawk fans feeling mighty good right now.
Let's go ahead and piggyback off of that, because it was one of the things I wanted to talk about here with you. And we were just talking about before we brought you on here today is the rumors that are out there. One of the things that's I'm kind of tired of, and I got to deal with it as I get older, is that there is no repercussions for being wrong anymore. There's no repercussions for journalists to be wrong and have to eat some crow. Or it's just some Joe Blow is on social media and throws out something about a particular school and says, Leipold interviewed here, or Leipold was seen here. And there's you know, nobody validates or verifies things, it doesn't seem, anymore either. So it's very easy to throw a dart. And, you know, once in a blue moon, you might get one right. The thing that stands out to me, and obviously what you just said kind of answers a lot of our questions at this point in time, and we all know that we might have a plan, and plans sometimes can change. And, you know, if somebody comes to Lance Leipold and offers them a truck full of money, maybe he changes his mind, maybe not. But one of the things I mentioned, and you can maybe elaborate on this, is that everybody gets caught up in the coach, and I get that. The coach, he's on the sideline, he's the face of your program. Is he happy? But you know what else is really important? His wife.
What's that?
His wife,
yeah.
And his family. And if his wife is happy, and if his significant other is happy, if his family is happy, that makes it harder for someone to leave. And so I was joking a little bit ago, if you see Lance Leipold's wife or family members, you should roll out the red carpet and be super nice to them if you really want to make darn sure he stays. Because let me tell you something, I can tell you just from experience, you hear the whole thing, happy wife, happy life, okay? There might be times where the family supports you when you move to another opportunity. Maybe deep down they'd prefer to stay, but they know this is the best thing for our family or for our dad or whatever the case may be, or my husband. But if you're not happy as a family, even if the coach maybe is going pretty well, he's going to be more likely to look elsewhere. So I think people need to remember that it's not just the Lance Leipold's decision if he's going to go somewhere, or any coach's decision. It usually is a talk with family members, and if they're happy, you got a better chance of keeping them. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and Kelly is as close with Lance as any husband-wife combo in the coaching industry that I've ever seen. I mean, she's honestly out of practice every single day and attends press conferences. I mean, she is ingrained in this program's culture as much as he is. The players all kind of look at her as their KU football mom. And so she loves this place. She loves what they've built here. She loves the fact that, you know, fans are getting more and more on the board, on the bandwagon here. I'd love it if we sold out every game by Monday at noon, because then you'd really feel like the fan enthusiasm is off the charts. But we're inching closer to another sellout for this week, and certainly expect that early next week for the K-State game. And so I think they see just how quickly this fan base has come alive. I think they certainly feel the love. Their son Landon is going to be a senior next year at Lawrence Free State High School. Would not have made sense to up and leave right before his senior year with all the friendships he's built and his place within athletics over there. And so it was never a huge concern for me that he was going to leave this particular offseason. And to hear him say, you know, everything he said last night, and understand this is a coach who has done his part to build it on the field, and now the athletic department and university are doing their part campus. And, you know, for him to basically create momentum big enough to get the dollars to start coming in, and now, you know, the university turned around and letting him put his thumbprints all over the stadium plans. And obviously we've already seen the locker rooms and the strength facilities upgraded, but everything else they're about to do with the coaches' offices, the you know, entertainment district that 11th and Mississippi is about to become, I mean, it's going to be, you hate to say the epicenter of Lawrence Entertainment because we got Allen Fieldhouse on the other side of campus, but I mean, it's going to be the gateway into the university with a palace of a football stadium. I mean, state-of-the-art, just looks absolutely awesome. Why would you walk away from that? I mean, you got to tough it out with 1 year playing under construction. I get it. That's not going to be fun. But why would you walk away from something that's already really good, and now you're about to have everything that you could ask for in terms of facilities and raises for the assistant coaches, I'm sure, are not far behind. And I mean, everything, and they obviously gave him a bump last year, don't get me wrong. Point is, you know, there is a great symmetry and alignment between the chancellor, the AD, and the football basketball coaches. I use both in this instance because this was also a week of Bill Self having his contract amended to make him fit to be paid like the coach that he is, which is the best coach in the country. And so the alignment, I think, is why guys like Lance and Bill feel so comfortable saying, hey, I want to spend the rest of my career here. But specific to the tools you need to keep it rolling, he's getting everything, you know, he could possibly hope for with the Gateway District project that literally, as soon as we get done calling the game on the 18th versus K-State, they're telling us, take your stuff off the walls, wheel out the chairs, and turn off the lights because the demo crew is coming in the next Monday and it's all coming down. Mm. And then we're underway on the project. And so the point is, why would you walk away from all of that? And if they love you and you're feeling the love and you feel comfortable there and you've got a chance to leave a legacy, to put your name atop this program bigger than any name before it. And he genuinely has that chance. I mean, bigger than the Masons and Manginos and Fambros. Why bigger than Mangino? Because, well, he has a chance to sustain it for longer.
Yeah.
Hasn't turned in a 12-1 season just yet like Mangino did, but, you know, it fizzled pretty fast after the 07-08 era, you know, for other reasons. And in this case, if Lance truly stays the rest of his career, I mean, he could go down as the winningest coach of all time. So we're really excited about that possibility and certainly really grateful that he loves Kansas and feels the love as much as we adore him and want him here. So it's a great position to be in, no doubt.
You said, why would he leave? To me, there'd be two easy answers to that question, but I don't think they apply. One, if he's unhappy, which clearly he is happy because he told you that. And two would be money. And, you know, you could, yeah, somebody could throw $100 million at you and maybe that changes everything. But if you're content and happy with what you're making and you know you'll be taken care of and you know you'll get a revised contracts probably every year if people are going to come courting you and you keep doing well, so you're going to make more money as you go if you continue to be successful. So to me, that would be the only two reasons that you leave is you're unhappy or you want to make more money. And if you're making plenty now, you know, as we know, money doesn't always buy happiness. Can it help you? Sure. But those would be the only two reasons I can think why. Well, I guess the third reason would be if your family's miserable. And you obviously point out that they're not. So it checks all the boxes that there's no reason for him to leave. I think the only reason would be now, I think most people would say, if he just got this unbelievable once-in-a-lifetime offer from somebody that just blows him away, that KU can't match. But based on his age, Brian, at 59, you know, if he was 39, I would think a lot differently, even if he had told you all that. But at 59, he made it pretty clear when he came on and took the job that, you know, that we don't want to be making a whole bunch of stops here. This is where we like to settle down and finish out. And I think you know him way better than we do. To me, I think he's a stand-up, rightful, forthcoming guy that isn't going to shoot you a lot of baloney.
No, I agree with all that. And I think, honestly, if you look at his coaching, you know, biography and his previous stops on the resume, the offseason to worry about was last year with Nebraska and Wisconsin
yep.
become available. And, you know, are there bigger jobs than those that if they ever, you know, picked up the phone, would he be flattered to hear from? Sure. But I think what I said a second ago really does resonate with him, and he hasn't ever talked about this publicly, but the fact that he's already doing special things that have only been once done before here, back-to-back bowl seasons, and now with a new stadium and everything momentum-wise rolling with this program, he'd have a chance to really put his name on Kansas football forever. You know, and you know, if you keep hopping around every 4 years, you're not really ever remembered. It's kind of like the basketball players that are one and done. They aren't as beloved or cherished as the guys that stayed all four. And you know, if he ends up coaching out the rest of his days here and wins at the clip that he's going right now, I mean, this is a guy that they built a statue for. And I mean that sincerely. So I think there's value in that for him. And so long as he continues to have that alignment and cohesiveness with leadership with, you know, Travis Goff and everybody that's, you know, from the chancellor all the way down, I mean, it's pretty ideal. You can look at other programs from afar and say they have a nice stadium or, you know, this is their season ticket base in terms of attendance, yada, yada. But you never really know about the dynamic of the people you're working for and working with until you get there. And I think he's found in 2.5 years that this is a great, great fit. And he's made it that because he's so terrific. So we're really lucky all the way around. And like I keep telling you, and I know you probably think I'm paid to say this, but I genuinely mean this. I mean, this is a golden era we're in the midst of right now with Shelf, Leipold, and Goff as our primary three leaders here. And it's pinched me, you know, as you go to work each day and you hop on one plane going to the next place, hopping from a bowl game to a, you know, Champions Classic type basketball game, and you realize, man, it doesn't get a whole lot better than this. And really, as you look around the country, what athletic department is doing it better than Kansas right now?
Yeah.
In terms of the back and forth. And so we got to be grateful as Kansas fans and supporters that we're living in the here and the now and what is a time that history will remember as maybe the best of times, and feel great that these coaches are loving it as much as we are and want to make this the stop that ultimately winds up finishing out their careers.
And just a few years ago, we were just hoping KU would win a football game. It's just amazing how quickly it's changed. Yeah. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you every Thursday on the ticket by our good friends, Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or call them today at 738-5701. All right, let's get to the field where Jason Bean, I thought, was fantastic. Up in Ames, and you know, that drive at the end of the Oklahoma game where he let him down to win, that confidence, it had to be a huge confidence builder for him. KU didn't have the hangover of beating Oklahoma, jumped on him early. Defense played extremely well, I thought, especially the first half. Dotson with the pick six. But I want to talk about Bean for a moment. He threw some balls into some tight windows that were absolutely impressive, that were terrific throws that you don't think of as a backup quarterback being able to make. But he's our starter, as you established last week with Daniel's issue with his back and everything else. But, man, did he have his receivers come up big. Grimm, Skinner had a top 10 highlight, for crying out loud, an amazing catch. And the play of the game was, I love the play call too, when Iowa State had momentum, the place is rocking, 21-18, and you throw the deep ball down the middle, perfect pass by Bean, lobbed it in there perfectly to Arnold for an 80-yard touchdown, and that was all she wrote. I know I threw a lot out there at you, but start with Jason Bean and then how Kansas was able to turn the page after beating Oklahoma and getting their first win in Ames in 15 years.
Well, I think the Bean topic is the one you have to lead with because it shows legitimacy of Kansas's chances at running the table now, the chances of finishing in a, you know, top 12 spot, a New Year's six bowl game, you know, that type of thing, because it showed you that last drive versus Oklahoma can be repeated and sustained. He can play a clean football game. Now, one clean game does not a career make.
Yes.
And if there's any way we lose to Tech on Saturday, it probably involves giveaways because, you know, in Joey McGuire's short time there, the 7-2 when they win the turnover battle, and just like Iowa State can be, they can be very opportunistic with this defense. And so you need Bean to continue to play clean football. Maybe we call him Clean Bean, I guess, as the key ingredient here, because if he plays mistake-free and doesn't have some of those giveaways that earlier in his career, unfortunately, you could probably predict one per half on an errant throw that probably was forced or was off target or whatever. And you don't expect perfection, let's be clear. But there were some untimely mistakes early in his career, and even earlier this year, that cost Kansas in key spots. Think about Stillwater, obviously. But he was also brilliant in that game for three quarters, too. So let's give credit where it's due as well. My point is, he strung together four great quarters on the heels of that final drive versus Oklahoma to back it up and really give you hope and to some degree expectation of what this last month could look like. And so that's got to make the Jazz a Kansas fan. It showed more poise and just confidence. And I just see a guy literally blossoming before our eyes, not just as a confident player, but as a team leader who feels like, these are my guys, this is my team. You see metamorphosis happening before our eyes right now. It's really a beautiful thing when you think about how low he must have felt after the bowl game last year with that third overtime play where the pass sailed high and wide, and you know, all the fans were all over, and we talked before about the David McCormick comparison, the guy that fans probably ride the hardest, and yet in some big moments he's delivered you some of our greatest memories in the last couple of years. But my point is, I see a guy that's just really emerging and growing into himself, which is fabulous. But then to see the defense, I mean, gosh, you talked about the Melo pick six, first Jayhawk to do that back-to-back games in program history. One of just four Jayhawks to have two pick sixes in the same season. One of the other three happens to be a Aqib Talib, so that's really good company. And then, you know, the defense didn't even give up a point until 35 seconds to go in the half and just looked dominant. And you felt like, and tell me how many times you've seen this, but we've been on the other side. You felt like, okay, we've put them in a two- or three-score deficit, and their young quarterback has got to go vertical now, and I don't think they have, you know, the firepower to fight back out of a hole that big. I mean, that was the narrative for Kansas for 12 years, and quickly it's changed, but the Jayhawks were able to play from out in front. The Jayhawks were able to put them in a position of vulnerability and uncomfortability and watch them squirm, and that's exactly what happened. Now, give Iowa State credit, they battled back to within three, but that's where your other point kicks in. The play call on the heels of their long, sustained six-minute drive to make it 21-18, KU comes right back out and hits him over the top on an 80-yard deep ball for a touchdown. Took 12 seconds, and just like that, everything Iowa State had worked so hard to pull back within one score of is pushed back out to a 10-point game. And, you know, that can be demoralizing and deflating, and that's exactly what that play call was designed to do, and it's exactly what happened. So you love all those aspects about that win, and you feel good about your chances in each of these final three games. You know, biggest one, obviously, is against a team we haven't beaten in a decade and a half, and that comes up next week. But I'm telling you, don't sleep on this Texas Tech team. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks had them as kind of an underdog pick to threaten for the league race early at the start of the year. They were coming off eight wins a year ago under Joey McGuire. So I respect this team a lot. They've been hurt for much of the year at key spots and continue to be a quarterback. But I tell you what, they're getting some guys back around them. And it's a club that just knocked off TCU a week ago. They won the turnover battle in that one and just look like a team that's starting to turn the corner. They would love nothing more than a top 25 road upset to really show that they're back. And they need it, quite frankly, as they go for bowl eligibility, something that Texas Tech has had 40 times in their program history. So this is a really important game for the Scarlet and Black as much as it is for the Crimson and Blue. So looking forward to it, 11 a.m. on Saturday.
I think this is the absolute epitome of a trap game. Everything lines up for this to be a trap game for Kansas. First of all, it's an early morning start, and that sometimes can be tough for teams. You're at home after two big emotional wins. You know, Iowa State, you thought maybe that's a bit of a trap game because you're coming off the big win of Oklahoma, but you also hadn't won at Iowa State for a long time. You have still a lot of things to prove in regards to, hey, it's not a fluke, we beat Oklahoma. Iowa State is atop the Big 12 standings at the time in a five-way tie. Now you have a Texas Tech team. I don't know if they're on their second, third-string quarterback coming into this game. Texas Tech doesn't have a glossy record. It's an early start. You're at home. You're expected to win. And Next weekend is the big one that everybody wants to talk about and is already talking to the players about. I can guarantee you the friends around these players are saying, hey, man, you guys going to beat K-State this year? You're going to get it done? You're going to beat the Wildcats? This is the year we're going to finally beat K-State. We're going to beat an in-state rival. We got them at home. And you're hearing about, oh, you're in the top 16 in the college football playoff ranking. You're ranked above Notre Dame and LSU, among other schools. And this is the game where, to me, it is the epitome of a trap game. I'm not saying KU is going to lose it. But to me, at some point, you emotionally, it's just human nature to come down a little bit. You know, we saw this with Colorado. People are like, oh, Nebraska, they beat Nebraska. This game's going to be their trap game. And I was like, no, the trap game's in 2 weeks when they play Colorado State. And believe it or not, they dang near lost that game and was lucky to win it at home. What about the way this game is placed? And is that something that's been a big focal point for Coach Leipold and his staff to say, guys, one game at a time, we hear that all the time. That's easy to say. But to actually practice it after two huge wins with K-State looming next weekend.
Yeah, I think those are all really good observations. And the only ammo that Lance has to fire back with to avoid that is, there's three things, really. One, you just moved up from the 18th to 16th in the college football playoff. You want to keep climbing so you can play one of those high-profile bowl games I alluded to earlier. Yep. Any misstep between now, if you look ahead and take one for granted, dashes that dream. Two, you're literally nipping at the heels of an invite to the Big 12 championship in Arlington. Now, what stinks is the two teams in front of you both have the head-to-head tiebreaker. The only two losses Kansas had, Texas and Oklahoma State, both came up with big wins last week. Texas beating Kansas State, Oklahoma State beating Oklahoma. They've got the inside pass. Kansas has to run the table, you would think. So, again, any misstep, and that dream is gas. And then finally, if you look at the series history with Texas Tech, this one's staggering to me. 2-22 all time. Mm. They went from 0-1 to 2019, not winning at all. And didn't play them every year in that stretch. That was some Big 12 North, Big 12 South. But the point is, it was almost two decades without beating them. And they've had some close calls in there, too. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. That is a staggering margin. It's one of the worst of any school we've played regularly. And so you point to them about not to get all that back in 1 year, but, you know, payback from last year, continue this trend of first win over Oklahoma since 97, first win in Ames since 08, you know, just third win all time versus Tech if you could get it. I think that's something that you also mentioned to the guys as well. But for all the reasons that you threw out there, you certainly have to, you know, bring your A game and be mindful of a look-ahead factor. But I think Lance does a really good job of keeping these guys' feet grounded and their eyes focused on where they're standing, not looking forward to anything beyond the present day, the here and the now. He's gotten on me when I've asked him questions about, the road ahead on Hawk Talk that included more than one opponent down the line. So I'm very careful to never ask past one particular Saturday, and I think that's reflective of how he leads his players as well.
Yep, I would agree with you totally. I was going to have something for basketball, but we're running a little bit short on time. We'll have plenty of time to talk KU basketball more than likely next week, and then hopefully talking about another big win for KU in football over Texas Tech, and then preview the Sunflower Showdown with you next Thursday. So I'm going to jump to the off-the-wall question for Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks. Daylight savings time ended. Clearly you know that. Otherwise, you would have been, you know, all messed up and not been on time for the games here since it changed. Do you like daylight savings time is the first part. The second part is, would you prefer the clock to just stay the same and we don't fall back in the fall, that we just stay on daylight savings time or standard time? What are your thoughts on the whole clock changing thing twice a year?
Well, I liked it this particular year because the bus would have rolled in from Ames, Iowa at 2:48 a.m., and instead it was 1:48 a.m., so I appreciated that. That was great. You always love it when you get that extra hour in the fall until it's 5 o'clock and all of a sudden it's pitch dark and you're like, what? And so to me, that's where I don't like it as much, and I realize the days get shorter anyway, but when they really get short because you lost that hour of daylight in the fall, then to me, that was when I had a realization as a kid that winter was upon us because I couldn't go out in the driveway and shoot baskets past 5 because all of a sudden it was pitch black out there. So that's when I first knew a distaste for it. But is it Arizona? There's a couple states that don't do it, mm-hmm. and they have their reasons. I'm probably not a huge fan. But then again, I don't have a strong opinion either way. I just know that when the days become longer and the light stays out later, I'll gladly sacrifice the 1 hour on that Sunday, because it just reminds you of everything that's in front of you and the fun times of spring and summer that lie ahead.
For me, I would like to keep it as daylight savings time and not fall back. And here's two reasons why. One, I don't mind driving to work in the dark in the morning, because guess what? I'm not going to do anything outside anyway. I'm going in the office. I'm going to be inside. So that when I get off of work, I would have an extra hour of daylight to play with my kids or do stuff outside. Now, yay, I got daylight. I can see without having my lights on going to work in the morning. But then next thing I know, 5 o'clock, 5:30, if I get home from work at 5:30 or 4:30, I don't have much time to enjoy going outside. I know it's going to get colder, so that's part of the equation too. But for me, I would be okay with not – I love the extra hour of sleep. Don't get me wrong. I love that part. But I personally – I'm okay with it being dark when I go into work in the morning, as long as I have more light at the end of the day to do more stuff after my work shift. So that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I'm with you there completely.
All right. Well, you're going to be busy again. You got basketball tomorrow night, football on Saturday. Keep your voice locked and loaded and in good shape, and we will talk to you again next Thursday, Brian.
Looking forward to it, brother. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You too. That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, with some really interesting insight there after talking with Coach Leipold last night on Hawk Talk, and really squashing a lot of, well, I wouldn't say there's a lot of rumors, but squashing one particular rumor like a bug. But who knows? Things have been done like this before, right? And then somebody changes their mind, or there's some amazing offer that pops up there. And then he's like, oh, yeah, he said he was going to stay. He wanted to make it his final job. But I think maybe I'm naive, but I think Lance Leipold, this is his final stop unless KU does something to really take him off, and I don't see that happening. KU realizes what they have. They're enjoying the success they have, and it's amazing the turnaround in a short period of time Lance Leipold's done with the Kansas Jayhawk football program. Our visit with Brian Haney every Thursday on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Midland Boulevard. Call them at 738-5701. This has been the Sports Ticket. We appreciate you tuning in here on a Thursday. Brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair.